You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
How much will the U.S. election rock the world? In the run-up to Election Day, we visited our neighbors to the north and south and our friends in the U.K. Today, it's more complicated in the Middle East, where the U.S. has long held an outside influence, for better or worse, and where opinions about it differ greatly. Our guide is Borzu Dargahi. He's Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed News.
Right now, across the region, there is this, you know, big rift. It's been in place for decades, really, but it has become more pronounced and more of a shooting war in some instances. And so you have these countries and governments and political parties who are more, let's say, part of the pro-Western bloc. These guys obviously have a sort of support for Hillary Clinton. They see her as more in line with the kind of U.S. foreign policy that has supported countries like Saudi Arabia, Egypt in the past, has been engaged in the region in a way that they like, been confronting the other forces in the region that are, let's call them what they call themselves, the sort of axis of resistance. Resistance to what? To U.S. and Israeli hegemony. That's how they phrase it. And those countries, loosely allied with Russia, also some political parties and so on, Iran especially, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Syrian government, those people who are, let's say, you know, pro-resistance bloc, they're a little bit more sympathetic to Trump. Now, there's a twist to that because everyone sort of recognizes Trump's blatant Islamophobia and his comments about Muslims and terrorism and so on are seen as very extreme. And people don't like that. And that is sort of confusing the issue a little bit. But generally, that's how the region views the two candidates.
But doesn't the resistance bloc prefer Trump partly because it helps make their argument that the U.S. is actually, I mean, this is the real face of the U.S., Donald Trump, and his election would help them to consolidate their argument against U.S. presence in the region?
Well, I think that might be part of it, but I think it has more to do with Trump's position of why are we involved in this part of the world in the first place? Trump's coziness with Russia, who is sort of viewed as a patron of the resistance bloc. And they also, in the same way that many analysts say Putin prefers Trump just because he would be such a disruptive force, disruptive to the West, disruptive to NATO and so on, they probably prefer him because of that. I should say one interesting thing. In Iran, the sort of capital of the resistance bloc, it was extraordinary. They broadcast the last debate between Trump and Clinton live with simultaneous translation.
Wow.
And they wanted the Iranians to see for themselves U.S. democracy at what many would consider its lowest, you know, the sort of insults, the kind of locker room talk, the references to female anatomy and so on. And then you had, you know, top Iranian officials, including the president, Hassan Rouhani, getting on television and in other interviews and other forums, sort of mocking the U.S. democratic process, saying, I couldn't believe how rude they were to each other. I couldn't believe the insults and so on. Is this the democracy that they want to impose on us?
Do countries care about the fact that the international trade is being bashed around on both sides by both candidates?
You know, in this part of the world, most of the trade is not with the U.S. The EU is the strongest trading partner to Turkey, North Africa, and the Middle East in general. So I don't think there's a lot of worry about that. But there is, I think, a worry perhaps with some countries about U.S. aid and whether under a Trump administration there would be U.S. aid. So those countries such as Jordan and Egypt and Morocco, Afghanistan, Iraq, who get quite a bit of support from the U.S. in terms of military and other types of assistance, I'm sure there's a lot of concern there about a Trump presidency.
It's not well known in the United States that broadly across the Middle East, there's not a lot of satisfaction with the way Barack Obama has run his foreign policy in the Middle East. And I think on both arguments, Trump or Clinton, there is an appetite for change in the region. How does that play out?
Well, I think it's been really instructive, I have to say, over the last 8 years, because you have had finally a U.S. president who has wanted to be less militarily engaged in the region, not try to be so much of a hegemon in the region. And the people complained, and the people said, where's the U.S.? You know, people might not remember that 8 years ago, everyone was saying, Yankee out of the Middle East. And now they're saying, oh, Obama left the Middle East and left a vacuum. And this is one of the problems that we're facing now, is all these, you know, local and regional powers trying to fill that vacuum.
Is there any country in the region that's in a position, if there's a Trump victory, to be Donald Trump's best friend in that they didn't hedge their bets at all? They stuck with the Trump candidacy and the idea of the Trump candidacy from the beginning?
You know, definitely the government of Abdel Fattah Sisi in Egypt. They are, not only is Sisi a kind of strongman character in the way that Trump seems to fashion himself, but he's, you know, very much welcomed Trump. And Trump himself has said kind things about Sisi. I think there's a lot of affection there. Trump is against Muslim fundamentalists and speaks about Muslim radicals. And Sisi, too, sort of fashions himself as someone who is combating Islamic radicalism and so on. So I think that that is one relationship that will strengthen in case of a President Trump.
Borzu Dargahi is Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed News. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.